yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and we are getting you ready for Week 15, yeah? There's a big game in Week 15. We can also talk Heisman a little bit. Plus, you know what this time of year is all about. Senior Bowl and underclassmen declaring. We are making sure you know exactly what guys are being invited to the Senior Bowl, as well as who's accepting and what underclassmen are declaring. When I say we, I mainly mean he, him, Fran Duffy. He's the superstar from the Philadelphia Eagles video and scouting department. Absolutely love his insight every week on the top players throughout college football and how they project as draft picks in the NFL. You can check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3. I am just at Ross Tucker NFL, a former NFL offensive lineman. Before, Fran, we get to some of the news this week, let's talk a little bit about, you know, Championship Saturday. I know you were excited for it. I was as well. Just from watching the TV copy, some guys that stood out to you.
Yeah, you know, I got a chance to watch the Pac-12 title Friday night and then the SEC title and Big Ten title games on Saturday evening. And, you know, really the things that stood out, I'll just pick one player from each game. Pac-12 title, yeah, eyes are on Sam Darnold, but Ronald Jones really stood out to me in this game. You know, the lights were bright, and he's shown the brightest. 140 yards, two touchdowns against the Cardinal. You know, we'll see if he does decide to declare for the draft, but a very talented runner that I think has seen his game kind of take the next level this year compared to last year when I still liked him coming into the season, but he seems to be seeing things a little bit quicker than he did a year ago, at least based off what I've watched on TV. Then you go to the SEC title, great game between Auburn and Georgia. I expected it to be a little bit closer, but you know, Georgia came to play, and defensively, Roquan Smith, the linebacker, really stood out to me. 10 solo stops, one sack in the game against the Tigers. And you know, you look at Roquan Smith and the way he plays the game, just a super physical, rangy kid. He's a little bit on the shorter side, but a guy that loves to attack downhill. There are some times where I think he's a little bit slow to see things, but I don't think it's something that I would consider a hindrance. I'd really, really like this kid's ability to make plays sideline to sideline. So Roquan Smith, the junior linebacker, is the guy who stood out to me in the SEC title. And then staying at the linebacker spot in the Big Ten title, Jerome Baker, that kid was playing all over the field, 16 stops, two behind the line of scrimmage, another sack against Wisconsin. And that kid is super athletic, really rangy. Coming into the season, I was very, very high on him. I haven't studied him a ton this year, so not sure how his game has looked compared to a year ago, but he really flashed watching the game on TV on Saturday night. And one of the themes, Ross, to me, watching these games over the weekend was, you know, we had a great running back class a year ago. This running back class, you know, coming up for 2018 looks really good as well. But we're already starting to see some of these other young runners really kind of come into their own. And in each of these games, you see freshman running backs that just look outstanding. You know, in the SEC title, DeAndre Swift, the Philly kid from Georgia, I mean, you see his speed in the open field to go along with his size was really impressive. Jonathan Taylor for Wisconsin has been an animal all year long, has been, was in the Heisman discussion, didn't end up making the final list, but a super productive kid who's been really, really impressive this year. J.K. Dobbins had a couple of really impressive runs for Ohio State on the other side of the field in that game. And then even in the Pac-12 title, Stephen Carr, the backup to Ronald Jones, I thought had some impressive moments in that game and really all season long for that team. So the future is bright for the running back position as well. That was one of the other themes I took away from this weekend.
Love it. Yeah, I noticed that also. I mean, it's amazing how many of these true freshman running backs and freshman running backs come in and are able to play at such a high level so early in their careers. Let's move on to the Senior Bowl invites. We're starting to get a much clearer picture of exactly what these rosters will look like. Let's start with the quarterbacks, because there's one name that certainly stood out to me, and that's Kyle Lauletta from Richmond. He's from Downingtown in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
I called his game a couple years ago against New Hampshire, and he looked like a pretty good prospect back then to me.
That's interesting. I actually didn't know that. I haven't done work on him yet. I saw that he had been announced originally for the Shrine game, and so he was on my list of players to do. Then he got announced on Monday for the Senior Bowl, so I will certainly be doing work on Kyle LaLetta. The Senior Bowl, they announced four quarterbacks on Monday afternoon, so LaLetta was one. Kurt Benkert from Virginia, an East Carolina transfer, who's been a starter now, I think, for the last 2 years for the Cavaliers. He was announced as well. I'm excited to do more work on him. But these last two I have done work on this year, and one is Mike White from Western Kentucky, who some people around the country from a media standpoint are very high on, and you can see why. 6'4", 225, he's got pretty good size. I think he shows really good flashes in terms of being able to operate in a muddy pocket, keep his eyes downfield, create room and time for himself to deliver the football. But overall, I think he needs a lot of work from a mechanical standpoint. He's a little bit erratic in terms of accuracy and touch. I want to see a little bit more from Mike White. I've watched a handful of games. Haven't seen a guy that I think is more than a potential backup at the next level. And then the biggest name would be Luke Falk from Washington State, who's been super productive throughout his career, a senior who really, you know, some people are kind of down on him at this point compared to where we were a year ago. But I think the kid could still play in the NFL. I don't think he's going to be some high-end starter. I'm not saying you draft him in the first even two or three rounds, but I think that Luke Falk's got the ability to stick in the league as a backup. So four names. I don't know. Again, I don't know that necessarily any of these guys are going to be starters in the next level, but four names to keep an eye on for sure at the quarterback spot.
Let's get to running backs.
Well, yeah, there's some interesting names. You know, Kalen Ballage from Arizona State, he may be one of the more intriguing players and maybe one of the players that needs the Senior Bowl the most, because his production this year was far, far below what people were hoping for coming into the season. He kind of played second fiddle to the fellow senior DeMario Richard. And Richard, I think, is a subpar physical in terms of pro prospect and what his upside could be. Ballage, I said in the past, he's got flashes of a David Johnson type of player. And Johnson really helped himself down in Mobile. I think Ballage could do the same. You see the size, the athleticism, the ability to impact the passing game. Really, really intriguing combination of skills there. I'm excited to see him down in Mobile. Rashad Penny from San Diego State, extremely productive, probably the most productive player in college football this year. The fact that he was left off the list of a number of high-profile awards is mind-boggling to me. But Rashad Penny from San Diego State will get a chance to go down there and compete, as well as his fullback, Nick Bowden, who I'm going to do a little bit more work on. But those are the three backs that were announced on Monday.
Wide receivers.
You got Marcel Aitman from Oklahoma State, who starts on the left side opposite of James Washington for the Cowboys. And Marcel Aitman is kind of like a poor man's Mike Evans from Tampa Bay. I mean, he is a big-bodied receiver, uses his size well. I think he's a pretty good route runner. I like the kid. I think he's got next-level traits. Just his frame, he's got extremely long arms. In some ways, I think he could remind me of like a Devin Funchess type of player in terms of the quality type of play. I think he could play a role as a potential starter, maybe more of a backup. But overall, Aitman's a really intriguing player. And then lastly is Jamon Moore, who we talked about in the summer. There may not be many more physically gifted receivers in this draft. I mean, he's just under 6'3". Again, another guy with really long arms. Really impressive speed for his size, can get downfield and attack vertically. He has great flashes of attacking the football in the air. You could say he's got a basketball background, and you could kind of tell that by the way he plays. He's just really raw. A lot of drops, poor against press coverage. He's not a great route runner right now. So coming out of that Missouri offense, he's got a lot of room to grow, but his upside is very, very high. So he will be one of the guys that I'm actually most excited to see in person. He could, with a really good week in practice, showing, you know, the ability to take NFL coaching and improve throughout the week, Jamon Moore could help himself in a big way, maybe more than some of these other guys that we're talking about on this list.
All right, let's go to the only position that matters in the sport of football, as we all know, that's the offensive line.
Yeah, well, a few guys that we've talked about over the course of the season, right? We've talked about the kid from Mississippi State, the left tackle, Martinez Rankin. He's got good size. He's got solid feet. He's got heavy hands. physical traits, I think, are there. I wanted to see a little bit more in terms of his core strength and his pad level. There were times where I thought he got caught at the point of contact this past year as a junior, his first year as a starter in 2016, and he got pushed back. So that's one of the areas where I'd like to see him kind of show out, especially in this week of practice down there at the Senior Bowl. Then you got a few small school guys that, honestly, a lot of people are really excited about. You know, there's Desmond Harrison from West Georgia, but the name to keep an eye on is Alex Kappa from Humboldt State, D2 football. The kid, I'll tell you what, I've only watched one game. I watched, which game did I watch? I think I watched like Western Oregon, and he's the left tackle, really natural athlete. He's light on his feet. He looks really comfortable on the move. He can execute any block in the playbook. He's a little bit undersized, and his lack of length, I think, will worry some people at the next level. So while he's got tackle feet, I bet you that there are going to be some that just scrap him immediately from tackle and say, no, he's got to play guard because of his arm length. But regardless, this kid is really athletic. He plays with a mean streak. He dominated that level of competition for 4 years as a starter. Alex Kappa is a guy that could really surprise people and help himself down here at this game. And then Desmond Harrison, I mentioned, from Western Georgia, but also Cole Madison from Washington State, the right tackle there. And then also the guard from Virginia Tech, Wyatt Teller, really athletic kid, former defensive lineman that converted to the offensive side a couple years ago. So a few offensive linemen added into the mix there for the Senior Bowl.
How about the DNs? You know, I thought it was interesting to see Harold Landry's name on the list. I thought he, the way people were talking before the season, that he'd be a top 10 pick type that wouldn't play in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and the production, we talked about this with Kalen Balazs, the production just wasn't there for Landry this year, and that kind of fell off, and people have kind of softened up on him a little bit. Now you're hearing the buzz about Bradley Chubb from NC State that I think people expected for Harold Landry this year. But Harold Landry is still, at the end of the day, extremely, extremely intriguing. He's got really good length. He's athletic. He's got a quick first step. What I liked most about him as a junior last season was how well he was able to finish sacks. Now, I'm going to do more work on this year, see if that was an issue for him or, you know, if he was just getting extra attention, whatever, what have you. But he was a guy that, you know, at 6'2", you know, 250-ish pounds, the guy that could finish in the backfield. I wanted to see him get a little bit stronger. He needs to get a little bit better with his hands in terms of being able to counter once he's initially blocked. But Landry's a really intriguing player. And then there's two other guys that got announced that, honestly, to me, it's three of the top five senior rushers in this class in terms of overall upside. You know, Duke Ejiofor from Wake Forest, we've talked about him a little bit. He doesn't have the upside of a Harold Landry or one of the other guys we're going to talk about, but really smart, savvy pass rusher. He's a good-sized kid, long arms, has the ability to win in a lot of different ways off the edge. And then Kamoko Ture from Rutgers ends up making it. He's a career backup for Rutgers, and people are going to worry about that. How come he never cracked the starting lineup? A lot of the things we've talked about with some other pass rushers in the past, like a Tim Williams. But 6'5", 252, lightning quick first step, freakish flexibility off the edge. There's going to be worries about his medical, and you know, can he defend the run as a three-down player? That's going to be a question mark, but you can't question his ability to impact the passing game. So they added three really impressive pass rushers on Monday to this game.
What about at the linebacker level? I remember the one named Nick DeLuca. I remember a couple years ago doing the FCS championship game. He was only a freshman or a sophomore, and I remember the coaches telling me that he would be a pro. That he was the next guy from North Dakota State.
Yeah, I watched him recently, and I liked him. You know, I don't think that he's going to be a starter because I think his lack of movement skills is going to really kind of hold him back. He's not a plus athlete. He's not a rangy guy. He's not explosive, like, in the slightest. But he's 6'3". Again, another guy with long arms, can win at the point of contact in terms of stacking and shedding offensive linemen and finding his way to the football. An accomplished special teamer. He's instinctive. He sees things really quickly. I think if you've got a combination of size, length, instincts, toughness, that's going to play well for the NFL. And so we may not be talking about Nick DeLuca as, you know, a Luke Kuechly three-down player, a Bobby Wagner type, but I think he's going to stick in the NFL. And wouldn't surprise me if he did become kind of that a base downs player and listed as a starter, but came off the field in most sub packages. But He's a smart player. I think he's got a really high floor. I think he's going to make it in the NFL. I was a fan of Nick DeLuca, watching him on film. Micah Kizer from Virginia, kind of similar in some ways. He's probably more of a two-down thumper, big, strong kid. He's almost 250 pounds, kind of a throwback from that side. But you're looking, again, at a guy that isn't going to excel in coverage, could be targeted as a man player. The lack of athleticism is going to kind of hold him back. But you like his size, his physicality on the inside. And then Fred Warner from BYU is a guy that's kind of moved all around the formation for the Cougars. He plays a little bit off the edge. He's been a playmaker in that defense. I'm excited to do a little bit more work on him. And then also, it would be remiss if I didn't mention, also in the trenches, BJ Hill, the defensive tackle from NC State. He got announced for this game. And we talked about his teammate Justin Jones last week, more of a three technique. Bobby Hill, BJ Hill, is more of a nose tackle type, a gap plugger that can help at the point of attack. And then you've also got Nathan Shepard, a small school kid from Fort Hays State that I have not studied yet, but also a pretty intriguing nose tackle in Andrew Brown from Virginia. And I watched Brown. He kind of popped on my radar a couple of years ago when he was a freshman. Five-star recruit who kind of stays from Chesapeake, Virginia, stayed home to play for the Cavaliers. 6'3", just over 280 pounds, but freakish length, athletic abilities there, the position versatility is there, lined up and down the line of scrimmage. I was pretty impressed with that kid. He's another guy that can kind of help himself down in that game.
What about in the secondary?
Yeah, a few names. Armani Watts is kind of a rangy player from Texas A&M, and he's, to me, he's very similar to the kid Justin Evans, who was a day two pick by the Tampa Bay Bucks a year ago. A little bit undersized. He's right around 200 pounds, which is probably kind of the benchmark you want for a starting safety. But he's athletic, and he's really aggressive. I'd like to see him get a little bit better as a tackler, but that's not something he's going to be able to improve upon down there during the week of practice. We'll see how he looks in person. MJ Stewart from North Carolina is probably the best corner in terms of pure technique and instincts and toughness that I watched on tape this year from the senior class. 5'10 and a half, 190 pounds. I kind of look at him as more of a nickel guy at the next level. I think he can play on the inside. He did play some slot in their sub package this year for the North Carolina Tar Heels. Competitive kid. I like that. You're going to question his physical upside in terms of his speed, his quickness in and out of breaks. But I like MJ Stewart as a football player. I think he's going to stick in the league. And then lastly, Darius Phillips from Western Michigan. I haven't done work on this kid yet, but if you remember back to week one, remember Western Michigan almost scared USC in that game, and there were a couple long kick returns for touchdowns, and everyone was like, whoa, who the hell's that kid? Western Michigan's got some talent. That's Darius Phillips running that back. A really athletic kid who's been a productive kick returner during his career. A little bit undersized, but an explosive athlete for sure that can help himself down in Mobile.
All right, friend, let's move on to some of the news this week. And it seems like there's some underclassmen declaring, including more from Texas. I mean, Texas is, for a team that's not very good, they got a lot of underclassmen going pro.
Yeah, there are a lot of reports out there. You know, Matt Miller from Bleacher Report was all over it. You know, talked about Malik Jefferson, the talented linebacker. And, you know, he immediately kind of put out a statement saying, oh, I don't know if I'm coming out yet. But Anwar Richardson, who covers the Longhorns, said that he's not going to play in the bowl game due to a turf toe and that he is likely to declare for the draft. So Malik Jefferson, big athletic kid, can play sideline to sideline. The flashes are there. I questioned his instincts, his ability to key and diagnose in the tackle box. That's going to be an issue for him, as we've talked about with a lot of linebackers in the past. And so that will be a question for him moving forward. But it wasn't just Jefferson. You know, we talked about Connor Williams last week, the left tackle. Deshaun Elliott, the safety for the Longhorns, he declared for the draft, according to reports. And Elliott is a big physical kid. He can finish at the catch point in coverage. But I was more impressed with him as a run defender, as an intimidating presence in the middle of the field coming downhill. He will try to dismantle a ball carrier in the alley. So I was impressed with Deshaun Elliott from what I had watched from him. The corner yesterday, Holton Hill, he declared for the draft. 6'3", 200 pounds is what he's listed at. He was suspended for the rest of the season after, you know, reports about a failed drug test. Or, you know, we don't know the confirmation on that, but was suspended for the season a couple weeks ago. Finished the year with 51 tackles, 6 pass breakups, 2 picks, and limited action. Tools are there. I'm excited to really kind of dig into him, but he made it official this week that he is declaring for the draft. So a few Longhorns, that's like 4 Longhorns kind of jumping there for Texas. But a couple other official ones we saw: Pitt's wide receiver Quadre Henderson, a little bit undersized, 5'8", 190 pounds, really athletic, a return guy for his time in the Panthers, was an all-ACC pick the last couple of years as a return specialist, all-purpose guy. So keep an eye on him moving forward. There were reports out of Miami that Mark Walton had signed with an agent and that he was declaring for the draft, was out for the year with an ankle injury. But I like Mark Walton. He's instinctive. He's quick. He's tough, a little bit undersized. But I think that he projects pretty well to the NFL game. Our buddy Tony Pauline reporting on a bunch of players. You know, Nick Nelson from Wisconsin, who's a first-team All-Big Ten selection this year, 5'11", 208 pounds. He's saying he's going to declare for the draft. Derwin James from Florida State, apparently he's going to go regardless of who the Seminoles hire as their new head coach. Calvin Ridley, according to Tony Pauline, will declare. Denzel Ward, who, I'll tell you what, the more work I do on Denzel Ward, the more impressed I am with that kid from Ohio State. He's got all the physical tools to be a shutdown guy on the perimeter at the next level. So you talk about a Denzel Ward from Ohio State. And then down in Florida, Tony had kind of given us a heads up on this one, and it turns out that it may be true. Taven Bryan from Florida, it looks like, and we'll see if Dan Mullen's able to keep him, but if he does come out, he's going to be an intriguing player, man. He's a really fun player to watch as a three technique in that scheme. Disruptive against the run and the pass. He's got a really quick first step, can get upfield, times the snap really well, uses his hands well. He's tough against the run. I was a big fan of that kid. When I went back and watched him, he's a really intriguing player on the defensive line. So a lot of reports now of some people that are they're potentially entering the draft. And we'll see what happens with we mentioned Derwin James. We'll see if there are other underclassmen for Florida State that decide to leave after Jimbo Fisher left the team for Texas A&M. You know, namely, you look at wide receiver Auden Tate, who was a touchdown machine for them this year, the talented corner Tarvarius McFadden. You go down in the trenches, there's Josh Sweat, the defensive end, DeMarcus Christmas at D-tackle. So a lot of really interesting players on that Florida State team. And then at Mississippi State, with Dan Mullen jumping ship and going to the Gators, you've got Nick Fitzgerald, 6'5", 220-plus pounds. There was a little bit of buzz in the media early this season that this could be his last year. We'll see if that ends up being the case, although I think they made a pretty good hire. I know I'm pretty sure you're high on Joe Moorhead as the former offensive coordinator for Penn State taking over at Mississippi State. We'll see if Nick Fitzgerald decides to stick around and play for Joe Moorhead.
Yeah, Moorhead, I think, Fitzgerald would thrive under Moorhead. Plus, I don't think Fitzgerald wants to turn pro after that injury. I mean, the way that looks, not real good. Any issues or any discussion early on about the college football playoff matchups, Fran?
Yeah, there's a lot of fun matchups in terms of like the NFL draft perspective in these two games. You have Georgia, Oklahoma, watching that defense going up against Baker Mayfield and Mark Andrews and the rest of that Oklahoma team will be fun. You know, the trenches, the Lorenzo Carter against Orlando Brown is going to be a fun matchup. We'll get to that as we get a little bit closer, but that should be a really interesting game. A lot of storylines there. And then speaking of storylines, you get Alabama sneaking in to the playoff and going up in another rematch now with Clemson for the third straight year. It's going to be fun. This isn't Deshaun Watson, Wayne Gallman, Mike Williams, Clemson. It wouldn't shock me at all if Alabama was, if it's not a pick 'em, if Alabama was favored slightly in that game. Everybody's healthy for them outside of Sean Dion Hamilton. That's going to be a really, really interesting game. I would not say, oh yeah, Clemson's going to walk away with a victory. That's going to be a really interesting one. Let me ask you this question though. Any issues? Do you think that there's going to be any more talk about them going from four teams to eight teams in this playoff moving forward?
Yeah, I think until they get to eight that people will keep talking about that, because there will always be, you know, one team or two that thinks that they should be in. I just think to have the winner of the five Power Five conferences and then three at large seems like the right number to me. And I don't want to hear any of this stuff about too many games, whatever. Look, they let the FCS kids play that many games.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? What's the difference? You know, I mean, the FCS tournament has 24 teams. 24 teams.
Exactly.
So there's no logic there. They're real, like, whatever they say against it, it's like, okay, then why are you letting, like, FCS lives matter too? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. All right, what about the Heisman Trophy finalists? It's just, to me, now, correct me if I'm wrong, Fran. They do the Heisman Trophy finalists just based on just based on how the voting came in, right?
As far as I know, yeah. As far as I know, it's all based off votes.
Yeah, I think they just cut off where the voting cut off. It's just crazy to me that I guess Saquon Barkley isn't one of the top three. I mean, that to me is a mistake. I did not see a better football player this year. I understand he had a couple of subpar games. I think that there were a lot of reasons for that and that he won't win it. I understand why Baker Mayfield should win it, but I don't understand. He did so many incredible things. I don't understand how he's not there. You know, he's not at least there.
I would agree. It's really, the argument is Bryce Love against Saquon Barkley, and the final number, Bryce Love's numbers were very good, but Bryce Love missed a little bit of time. Bryce Love had a couple of subpar games as well. Pretty interesting to see how that came out. Everyone I've talked to about it, is pretty shocked that Saquon was left off the final three lists. But Lamar Jackson, too. I mean, Jackson's numbers this year, some think are better. You know, his performances have been better than what he did a year ago when he won it. So it's going to be interesting to see how the final votes go. I would agree, though, that the chalk answer for this, for winning this, is going to be Baker Mayfield.
What about anybody else that you've studied, you know, since last week?
Yeah, we talked about Trayvon Henderson going to the Senior Bowl, the safety from Hawaii. We talked about him last week, and I did get a chance to watch him since then. And he's an interesting player. You know, 6 foot, 200 pounds. I like his athletic ability. I think he can hang in man coverage. I'd like to see him get a little bit better as a tackler. I'm not sure that he's a starter at the next level, but certainly an interesting player that I think has the ability to stick in the league. The two linebackers from Wisconsin that play off the edge, Garrett Dooley and Leon Jacobs. I think both guys, even though they play off the edge in the 3-4, I think at the end of the day, both would probably be better served kind of shifting inside to more of an off-the-ball role, maybe as a Sam linebacker off the edge as well. But, you know, neither of them, I think, are great pass rushers. I don't see a lot of athletic upside in terms of being able to turn the corner and accelerate running the hoop on the way to the quarterback. I do think that they've got some physicality to them. But to me, I didn't see guys that were next-level pass rushers. And then Tulane, they've got a big defensive end that I had been kind of excited to get to. And this kid, Ade Aruna from Tulane, a really intriguing kid. I mean, you're talking about a player who's, you know, in that 6 foot six or 6 foot five, 265, 270 pound range, long arms, really disruptive in terms of his potential. I think he's got the ability to impact the game both inside and outside. He played as kind of a D end in their 3-4, and I think that was a little bit miscast for him. I think he's probably at his best more off the edge as a really long edge player off the, you know, as a defensive end. But he's going to be a guy that if he's in all-star game, whether it's the Senior Bowl or the Shrine game, could help himself with a good week of practice. So he'll be a guy I'll be keeping my eye on moving forward.
Finally, Fran, I will be at the Link on Saturday in the City of Brotherly Love for the Army-Navy game. Any prospects for Army or Navy?
Yeah, you got the one guy on each team have been accepted to the Shrine game. And the Shrine game does this every year. They'll always bring somebody from the service academies. And for Army, it's the tackle Brett Toth, 6'6", 305. For Navy, it's the linebacker DJ Palmore. So when Army's got the football, you got two guys you can watch, especially in that game, Ross.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't know if it's Toth or Toth. I didn't get to the pronunciations part of it yet. But he, 6'6", 305 is not the typical body type for an Army offensive lineman. So that I find that interesting. I mean, he must be pretty athletic if he can, you know, be running the option and getting up on linebackers and doing the things he needs to do at 6'6", 305. So I'm looking forward to it. I guess the last thing, Fran, what are most of the NFL teams doing right now?
Well, there's no games this weekend that I think people are, you know, kind of excited to jump into from in terms of the scouting potential this week. So really what you're seeing, I think, around the league right now is the teams are going to start bringing all their scouts back home, back to the facility, get together, kind of go over final grades and really make out their plans in terms of visitation for the Senior Bowl, not just the Senior Bowl, but also for bowl games. Everybody's going to be planning out where their trips are going to go. And you're going to start to see boards getting stacked around the league this year as everybody starts to collect all the reports and everything that they've seen so far this fall. So this is the time frame where you're going to start to see that happen across the NFL.
I love it. Well, we will be all over it. Of course, next week there will be more underclassmen declaring, more Senior Bowl announcements as well, and we'll be able to dive into bowl season as well. Check out Fran's all the time Saturday scouting article as well as him on Twitter at FDuffy3. I am at Ross Tucker NFL. We greatly appreciate the retweets each and every week or the likes on Facebook when we post a show. That's huge for us. Other than that, the keg is kicked and we are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Hey everybody, it's Chad Prather here, the guy that's unapologetically Southern on YouTube. Join me every Thursday for the Chad Prather Show exclusively here on Podcast One. I'm bringing armchair philosophy and observational humor to what's going on in the world. As guests, help me sort it all out. Nothing is off limits on the Chad Prather Show. Again, every Thursday, it's new episodes of the Chad Prather Show right here on Podcast One. Download and listen to new episodes exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.